The Book of Hebrews, Who Wrote It, When, and Why? By Bart D. Ehrman. Read by John Paul Middlesworth. Now that I have discussed the overarching themes and emphases of the letter to the Hebrews, I can turn to the historical question of who actually wrote it, when, and why. The authorship of the book has been debated for nearly as long as the book has been in circulation, and part of that question involves the issue of what kind of writing it actually is. Although Hebrews is normally labeled an epistle, this designation is not particularly apt. The book has an epistolary closing, where the author gives a final exhortation, gives some personal greetings, and signs off by wishing his readers the best. Chapter 13, 20-25. That is, it ends the way letters tend to end. But there is no epistolary prescript. That is, in the opening, the author never names himself nor his addressees, nor does he include an opening prayer, benediction, or thanksgiving on their behalf. Check out Paul's letters, which always begin that way. So, is it really a letter? Scholars have long been struck by the fact that the author describes the writing not as a letter, but as a word of exhortation. Hebrews 13:22. This is a fair summary of the book's contents, leading to the widespread view that it was originally a sermon or homily delivered by a Christian preacher to his congregation. The author may have composed the sermon to be read aloud. Most literature in antiquity was, in fact, read publicly. Or possibly he wrote it down after it was delivered orally, from notes. If it did originate as a sermon, then the epistolary closing with its benediction, exhortation, travel plans, final greetings, and farewell, chapter 13, 20-25, may simply have been tacked on by its author or by someone else who read the piece when he sent it to another community. It is particularly intriguing that Timothy is mentioned at the end, 13:23, since he was one of Paul's companions and co-authors. Are we to infer from this that Paul wrote the sermon? One modern scholar, Claire Rothschild, in Hebrews as Pseudepigraphon, The History and Significance of Pauline Attribution of Hebrews, Moore Zeebeck, 2009, argues that the book was deliberately written by someone other than Paul, wanting to make his readers think he was Paul. That is, that it was a forgery. I myself am not entirely sure of that. It seems to me that if that were the case, the author would either have introduced himself as Paul or at least included some kind of opening to the letter that sounded like Paul. But maybe. More likely, to my mind, someone took a sermon that was in circulation and added the ending to make it seem like Paul had composed the whole thing. In any event, even though the book is anonymous, it came to be included in the canon only after Christians of the 3rd and 4th centuries became convinced that Paul had written it. There is little doubt, though, among modern scholars that he did not. The writing style is not Paul's, and the major topics of discussion, for example, the Old Testament priesthood and the Jewish sacrificial system, are things Paul scarcely mentions, let alone emphasizes. Moreover, the way this author understands such critical terms as faith, chapter 11, verse 1, differs markedly from what you find in the writings of the apostle. It is difficult to say, then, who did write the book. A number of names have been proposed over the years, including such early Christian notables as Barnabas, Apollos, and Priscilla. It is safest, however, simply to accept the pronouncement of a famous Christian scholar of the 3rd century, Origen of Alexandria, who said, "As far as who has written it, only God knows." We are in a better position to say something about the book's audience. As I indicated in my previous post, the author presupposes that they are Christians who had previously undergone some serious persecutions for their faith, including imprisonment and the confiscation of property. Hebrews 10:32-34, although none of them had been martyred. Chapter 12, verse 4. From antiquity, the book has been titled To the Hebrews, but there is some considerable doubt over whether these persecuted Christians were Jews or Gentiles. For example, when the author reminds them of the instruction they received upon first coming into the fold, he includes such matters as faith in God, belief in the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Hebrews 6:1-2. Surely Jews attracted to the Christian religion would already have known about such things. It seems more probable, then, that we are dealing with a group of Gentile converts who had experienced some persecution for their Christian faith, possibly, although not certainly, for reasons similar to those sketched earlier. That is, for refusing to worship state gods without having the Jewish roots that would make this refusal acceptable to local state officials. We don't have good grounds for dating the text, but the advanced theological views that it has about Christ, the apparent reality that its readers had a history of being persecuted, and other internal factors normally are taken to suggest that it was written sometime toward the end of the first century. A standard objection to the view by readers who think Paul wrote it, or at least that it was written before 70 CE, is that the author is talking about priests who continually perform sacrifices, indicate that the temple, which was destroyed by the Romans in 70 CE, was still standing when he wrote. Others have pointed out that rabbinic writers centuries later also spoke of the temple in present tense, long after it was gone. In addition, almost everything the author of Hebrews says about the Jewish religion and ritual practices are drawn directly from descriptions in the Old Testament rather than from first century practices, so these descriptions could have been written most any time. The main point to stress is that the author is writing to demonstrate to his Gentile readers that Christianity is superior to Judaism. Perhaps he fears that members of his audience are being tempted to convert away from Christianity to non-Christian Judaism, perhaps to escape persecution. To abandon Christ for Judaism, in his judgment, would be a serious mistake. To do so would be to prefer the foreshadowing of God's salvation to salvation itself, and to opt for the imperfect and flawed religion of the Jewish scriptures rather than its perfect and complete fulfillment in Christ. For this author, Christ does indeed stand in continuity with the religion of the Jews as set forth in their sacred writings, but he is superior to that religion in every way, and those who reject the salvation that he alone can provide are in danger of falling under the wrath of God.